Norbert, we know that the Bible teaches that salvation is of the Lord, and our own personal salvation is what we're concerned about. As individuals, we want to know our relationship with Jesus Christ. But we ought to ask the question, for what purpose does God save?
John, in the Revelation, chapter 19, verse 1, in his vision, he said, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So then salvation is of the Lord. And on down in verse 7, let's read. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Here the Bible is using, again, natural things to interpret for us or explain to us spiritual things. Now, the spiritual things are always much greater than the natural things used to illustrate the spiritual.
In the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, where Christian living is being taught, we read in verse 25, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
We're dealing now with the question, for what purpose does God save? In this we are taught that Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that he might present it unto himself a holy church, having no spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be without blemish, holy, before him.
So plainly, the answer to the question, for what purpose does God save, is that he will have a holy people.
And we believe that God, by the work of his Spirit, that he regenerates, that he has and does justify his people. But what happens between the time that God justifies a man, that he is regenerated by the Spirit of God, and the time that he goes to heaven? Why is this space of time in there? Why are we still upon the earth? Why aren't we taken to heaven immediately when we're saved?
You know, every man asks this question, whether he's a saved man or not. What am I here for?
Jesus called that being in the world.
In the prayer of Jesus recorded in John chapter 17, starting at verse 11, he says, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
And if there ever was a prayer that would be answered, we must believe that this prayer of Jesus before his crucifixion would be answered. When he prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Perhaps we should make the distinction now between the perfect sanctification that the Christian has in Christ Jesus. That is, we have a sanctification in Christ Jesus that is perfect. But the Scripture teaches that we have a personal holiness. That is, that we have a sanctification of our own.
Jim, we are taught in the Scriptures of that perfect sanctification that you talk about. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." This one offering is Jesus.
No, but the same Bible that tells us that you must be born again teaches that the Christian leads a holy life. If it be written that without shedding of blood is no remission, that's Hebrews 9:22, and without faith it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6, the Scripture of truth also declares, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord," Hebrews 12:14. So then, if the Bible teaches that the Christian leads a holy life, the question then is, how can he? What is it that makes the difference?
Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But on in verse 34 he said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Then in verse 36 he says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
Now that helps us understand what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So it's plain then that we do not have to sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you should be free indeed. You don't have to sin. And a person who says that he can't help himself is saying that he doesn't believe Christ is strong enough to keep him from sin.
We are not saying that the Christian does not sin, for this would be making God a liar. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." But what we are saying is that the Christian does not have to sin, and that righteousness is a joy to him because of his love for God, saying that we love him because he first loved us.
And in that same book, John goes on to say, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." In other words, we want to keep his commandments.
The Scripture teaches us that the Christian then is not happy when he is disobedient to the Word of God. And this brings us back to our question, for what purpose does God save?
Now there's one text in the book of Titus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works."
This should be very plain to us, that Christ does not just save a people and then leave them to themselves, but that he does purify unto himself a peculiar people, that is, a people who are different and who are zealous unto good works.
Now here's what makes the difference. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So then what makes the difference? Is he trying to work out his own salvation in a way that he can look back and take credit for what he's done? That he can boast in this? Or does he know that it's God that's working in him?
And how is it that God works in a man? By the word of truth. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Let us read also in 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, freely furnished unto all good works. The Scripture then is given to us to enable us to overcome and to enable us to live righteously and godly in this present world. Most often, morality and righteousness is thought of as being good things that we can accumulate. And in the judgment, then, our good things will outweigh the bad. And these, then, become the reason for the hope of some men. The apostles didn't think this way. Peter, in 1 Peter 3:15, says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, what is the reason for your hope? Is it your good things that you have done, that you have accumulated, and that they add up, and maybe that they will add up to a larger sum than the evil things that you've done? Peter didn't think this way. This was not even in his mind. He said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust."
We must search our hearts, because God knows what's in a man's heart. And Jesus said, when he was speaking of the judgment, in Matthew chapter 25, he said, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer, and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The same sort of things are going to be said by the unrighteous people, but their attitude is going to be entirely different. They're going to claim that they've done all these things in Jesus' name, but he's going to say unto them that you didn't do it to the least of these, so you didn't do it to me.
They said, "When, Lord, did we ever do any of these things?" Their hope then, and their salvation, did not rest upon that which they had done. But they did it because of the love that they had in their hearts for their Savior.
Will the Christian then lead a holy life? Yes, the Bible says that he will. Will the Christian perform good works? Yes, the Bible says that he'll be zealous of good works. In fact, these are the answer to the question, for what purpose does God save? That he would have a holy people.
We must, as Christians, believe that Jesus did indeed save a people from their sins. He did not save them and just leave them in their sins, but Jesus is saving a people from their sins, and he shall finally save them even from this present evil world.